This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Now, ahead of the Johor polls, Barikatan National have vowed to take an anti-corruption oath. So we're looking into what this means and whether it will be helpful.
So this is coming from Perikatan National Chairman Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who says that each of its candidates will take an anti-corruption oath, as you said, and this is similar to candidates for the Malacca election, and that this pledge is in line with Perikatan's offer of a clean government if the coalition does end up winning the state election. So for what it's worth, I mean, since we're saying that it's similar to Malacca, right, the pledge at the time promised sort of outlined that the candidates must ensure a clean, fair and corruption-free administration. Perikatan currently holds 12 seats in Johor. They will be contesting in all seats, and in case you've somehow missed it, polling day is on the 12th of March.
So to elaborate on what that might mean, right, that idea of a clean, fair and corruption-free administration, a couple of things that are included in the pledge. They've promised to abide by the MACC Act 2009 and other relevant laws when it comes to carrying out their duties and responsibilities. And at the moment, that's pretty much the information we have. But this idea of an oath, really, and whether it counts for much, right? Because on the one hand, sure, maybe it's rhetoric, but it is interesting when a party sort of makes that kind of pledge. I'm not sure. Is this something that you think we want to see from other parties, Lynn?
Fool me once. What is it that they say? So that was what I was thinking when I first saw this, you know, because I think perhaps it's just my cynical little grizzled, you know, heart of doing this and covering all the political twists and turns that we've seen in our country recently. I think it's nice. It's nice to hear. It's nice to say. But the word oath here is an interesting one because it's a promise. But what are the repercussions if that promise is broken? Because you have already been elected and you'll just be there. And what repercussions are there? I think that is the point that we're trying to raise here, is that there is nothing necessarily binding about this. And we talked about this, how in other parties, we saw if you jump, you have to pay a certain amount or whatever, and that being outlined in agreements. And nothing has come of that either, even though in those instances, they already explicitly said that there would actually be a financial repercussion. Still nothing. So I think for me, when I hear this, I'm like, this is nice, but this should be a given. Like, I don't think that this is something that you need to say and you know, make a big hoopla about, because I should expect this. You shouldn't actually be promising it to me. It should just be a given that you're running and that therefore you are going to ensure a clean, fair and corruption-free administration.
It should be that simple, shouldn't it? I also wanted to bring up the other word that I perhaps dislike almost as much as that word oath that we've now said about 40 times already, which is manifesto. Because if you wanted to talk about a clean government, an anti-corruption stand, then worth putting into a manifesto, no? But then we also have, I think we've been burnt by manifestos before as well. So honestly, at this point, I'm not sure whether words alone have as much import as actual action. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the boring thing here, I suppose, is to say that this is not necessarily something that only parties should be looking into, because as we've mentioned, other parties have also not necessarily succeeded in terms of creating a promise and then creating enough of an infrastructure around said promise to ensure that it is kept. Instead, it has to be something that is actually part of policy and legislation, because otherwise, what kind of binding measures are there? You know, people can be taking oaths left, right, center.
Well, let us know what you think. Does this anti-corruption oath mean anything to you as a voter? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be getting into this with Cynthia Gabriel from the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are talking about anti-corruption oath, specifically one that the Perikatan National candidates plan to take as they promise for a clean, corruption-free government. And this is for the Johor polls. And we would like to hear from you. Does this anti-corruption oath mean anything to you as a voter? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. Cynthia, always good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
What are your thoughts on this plan by PN to take this anti-corruption oath?
Well, in one line, I'd say it's a complete waste of time. And if you want to ask me why, I'll tell you that it has been tried before. We've had former Prime Minister Najib Razak actually sign a Transparency International pledge back in GE13. And it was GE13 that we came to discover later all the scandals of the 1MDB. And it was also him that later was forced to admit that about 50 million or so, and this is by his own admission, $50 million was actually used to win the last general election. So what election pledge are we talking about? And then we have another example of the PKR agreement that was signed back in GE14 by PKR candidates. And many of them went on to win their seats. And many of them also went on to become frogs and to become those that actually backed an internal coup to form a new government. So that was a complete trampling of the people's vote. And whatever bond agreement they signed, they suddenly tried to argue that it was violation of their freedom of association, etc., etc., and that bond is not legally binding, and so on and so forth. So this whole thing about Perikatan National candidates in the Johor election signing integrity pledges, it comes across as a joke for many voters and conscious members of the public and constituents who have over time actually seen politicians from across the divide actually talk about election pledges, integrity pledges during elections, etc. Once they win, they forget all about these pledges because it's also not legally binding. And then, you know, they act completely opposite. So what I'd like to say outright is don't waste your time. Don't waste our time. There's no need to sign any pledge. But what we'd actually like, I mean, I'm not a Johor voter, but what I'd suggest, and especially because the general election, the 15th general election is coming up, is to actually have all calon and candidates declare their assets transparently before their constituents. And it's something that has to be coordinated at a national level, something structural. And that they would commit to actually having an asset declaration law if they win the elections and they can be at federal and state legislative. So if they declare the assets now, before the general election, the public will actually know where their candidates and their wakils are coming from. There's no wrong in being rich. But the constituents, the public, you and I, actually need to know that this wealth is actually coming from a legitimate business or some long-standing legal career or any kind of logic that comes behind that kind of wealth. And it's also important for the public to track over 5 years that the assets are not incremental in a way that becomes suspicious. So then we need to know that there's no unexplained wealth over these last 5 years and that no public funds was actually used to enrich themselves, etc. So these kind of things are more meaningful because it actually provides real evidence of their assets, of where they are coming from. And also we've had many other candidates who have had dubious profiles in the past, academic qualifications that don't exist and things like this. So this is what needs to be declared to the constituent, not just sign a pledge which means nothing. And secondly, I also wanted to challenge the Perikatan National because they had more than a year in government, at least whatever power that they managed to usurp, change government and all that. They had more than 12 months, I think 16 months or something. There was a national anti-corruption plan. And for all of us anti-corruption advocates, we are wondering what actually happened, whatever happened to that plan. There has been hardly any progress on the commitments made, and it is a 5-year plan. So next year is the end of the plan, but there's been hardly any progress made. And then there's a change of government again, and there's an MOU, and one or two things that are inserted in there, like a 2-term prime minister term limit and undi 18 and all that. But in the NACP, there are 6 pillars and there are a number of important promises, I think, which amounts to many, many broken down pledges and commitments to reviewing bills, amending bills, and some very basic ones that have absolute important links to elections, including political funding. Where's the source of the money coming from? So if all these calon from Perikatan National will lead the charge to actually declare their assets, make transparent where their sources of funds are coming from, then that would be a real challenge to the opposition and also to the Barisan Nasional to follow suit. Because that makes so much more sense rather than just signing a piece of paper which means nothing. And we have seen that politicians themselves have actually shown us that it means nothing.
So I wanted to pick up on one thing that you mentioned there, which was the idea of, I mean, not just that at the moment it's pure symbolism, but also that there isn't anything legally binding here. Is there value in that, in creating some sort of legal bind, or are we perhaps better served looking at the other mechanisms that you brought up?
We seem to have lost Cynthia for the moment. We will try to get her back on the line. But in the meantime, we are discussing an anti-corruption pledge by the Perikatan National candidates ahead of the Johor polls. And we've been asking you whether this sort of oath means anything to you as a voter. You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some messages in the meantime.
So I wanted to read this one from KCKJ because it gets at exactly what I was saying, but with more comedic heft. So they say, why does a government party need to pledge an oath on corruption? It's like a chef pledging an oath to cook edible food, or a pilot pledging an oath of not crashing, or a delivery guy pledging an oath of not eating your food.
Yes, something that you'd expect as a given, and yet we apparently have to make sure we have. I mean, I think that puts it just perfectly. I have nothing to add to that. I do believe we have Cynthia back on the line. Hi, Cynthia, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Sorry, I'm not sure what happened. Got disconnected for a moment. Okay, so I was actually just trying to respond to that question on whether it should be legally binding. Definitely. But what I would suggest that before a law is actually put in place, there are many other things candidate can actually take on as very important integrity commitments, because what I've just suggested just now, data-driven, it's real evidence and it's real information that voter can actually assess. Just to summarize, it's about their asset disclosure and also with the source of their funds for political campaigns and etc. Because that is actually very, very critical in curbing corruption during the election. So these are very important. But in the long term, I would agree that we would require something more legally binding.
I was wondering whether these sorts of oaths or pledges, is this something we see in other governments, in other countries, and how well have they worked or not worked, as the case might be?
Well, perhaps there needs to be a clause in the pledge itself that if these pledges are broken, then there would be court trials that can contest certain behavior, certain types of actions taken by the elected representative, etc. Right now, we don't even have an anti-party hopping law. And that makes it really problematic when they try to argue it in the context of, oh, it's my right and all that. But the whole accountability factor goes missing there. And it's very, very important to actually return back to the people to determine their legitimacy and that their mandate is still something that is backed by the people. So that would actually ensure less power-grabbing type of environment that exists today.
Cynthia, I feel like we ask you this every time you come on, but are you optimistic that there will be any real change in terms of creating an environment for clean government, whether at a federal or state level?
Well, not at this point in time. And that is a very heartbreaking thing to say for many of us Malaysians, because even this elections in Johor is something that is completely a waste of public money. It is not necessary to be held at this point. And that it is really about power play. It's about the people in power having their own tiffs, their own tensions. And the sad thing is that there's hardly any attention paid to the misery that is being felt by the people. Also now with rising prices of goods, more and more unemployment because of COVID, many other issues with the economy, etc. So who's actually in charge of actually managing our misery and actually trying to lift the economy and the country forward? It seems like there's some other political game being played at our expense. So right now, I think to answer that question, it looks difficult to find optimism in these kind of elections that suddenly are being called for no apparent reason. And what we need to actually focus on as a people is to actually reclaim our rights in the next general elections. And how do we do that? I think that it's a very massive task of public education, of voter rights, etc. But the one hope, and I hope that this can be hopeful to all of the BFM listeners, is the young people now. We have more than 5.8 million new voters that have joined the electoral roll. And that is a very, very big chunk of the percentage of the current voters. And it is really the young people that will determine what kind of change is needed for the next generation. And we place a lot of hope in that potential. And we hope that in the elections of Johor, it can be actually seen that young people will lead the way.
Cynthia, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at CIFOR, the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, weighing in on the oath that Perikatan National plans to take ahead of the Johor elections for a clean government. We want to hear from you. Does this anti-corruption oath mean anything to you as a voter? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have plenty of thoughts.
Is it sad to say that I'm heartened by the fact that mostly everyone thinks that this isn't great? Mostly because I think it's important for us to, I think, become more aware that just because people use big words like oaths, that it doesn't necessarily mean what we would want it to mean. So let's see, we have Taihi who says, pure nonsense. Our ranking in the corruption index keeps falling. Jeff says talk is cheap. Nini says, you see now why most politicians pass the lie detector test unscathed.
Yes, I mean, I think all of those pretty decent points. Look, I think there is value to making declarations. I will say that.
Bless you. You're such an optimist.
Well, only because I think we shouldn't become so cynical that we don't think that these have value, right? But I think that the proof really is in the pudding or in the actions. And when we don't see them being implemented over and over again, yeah, I can completely understand where this sort of sentiment comes from. We have Maggie saying, when someone signs up for a job, a public office, there are prerequisites in carrying out their functions. Being honest, responsible, keeping verbal and or written promises, law-abiding, incorruptible, just to name a few, are prerequisites. So what's the issue of all of these pledges? Do they mean to say they doubt their capability to deliver even these basics? I think we should think more than twice to vote for anyone who are offering such assurances because they may not be qualified to run for office in the first place.
So I think that this is a pretty direct response to a number of the points that have been brought up, right, about the pledge or the notion of the pledge. I did also want to say in relation to your point about cynicism, I agree with that. I think it's important to still hold out some measure of hope, I suppose, that we could get there. But for me, it comes down to what the action is and who the action is by and in what context it's coming. So I think, you know, Maggie, this is exactly right, right? I guess we're covering it because it received publicity. So we're part of the problem. But in general, I don't think that this is something that needed publicizing. It should be par for the course. It should be something that you sign when you join the party.
It should be something that is expected when you run for public office.
Exactly.
Keep those thoughts coming. We are talking about an anti-corruption oath that Perikatan National has declared, something they did before the Melaka elections as well. And this is ahead of the Johor polls. We'd like to hear whether this sort of oath means anything to you as a voter. You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.